Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 39 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. This week, we're going to talk about fears and phobias. Try to keep it spooky for the month of October. So, we're not going to do the medical thing anymore because we're not going to give you medical advice or anything like that. We're not going to give you any advice. Don't listen to what we said. We're just going to talk. We're going to ramble like I'm doing right now.
We'll still add in the little remark of please don't take what we're saying as serious advice. Like, we will.
A lot of what we say is satire. Okay, how's that?
Yes.
But what we are still going to do is offer our Canadian and American listeners phone numbers to call if they're feeling suicidal. So, Joyelle, take it away.
Okay, so if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text message 45645. And in the U.S., you can call 988, or you can text TALK to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, and if you can also through these lines report if you think somebody is suicidal. So you can use these to reach out to somebody. And on to Taylor.
I honestly didn't know that aspect of it.
I just found out.
Oh. Yeah, very good. We all learned something new. All right, so for the quote this week, next week we'll probably have more spooky-ish things, but this one is, thinking will not overcome fear, but action will. So what made me think of this particular topic a while back was because in the new year, when Dana approached us about doing the podcast, I kind of put together a short list of things that I wanted to do for the year. The first one was being like sacking up and doing the podcast, which was terrifying as all fuck. Although, I mean, I was confident about it going into it. And then we did the first episode. I'm like, yeah, we got this. And then came the moment for you to publish it. And suddenly my stomach just fell out my butt.
Do you guys remember what I said to you in the group chat about hitting that button to make it public? I'm like, guys, I don't know if I can do this.
Suddenly we went from being, I remember it being Dana and I were the two confident ones. We were like, let's go, Peanut. We can do this. Duh, yeah, let's do it. And Peanut's all like, oh, I'm the anxiety one for this guy, so I'm afraid to do it. Like, we record it and all of a sudden we flip-flop. Dana and I are like, oh god. And Peanut's like, so did we post it yet? Is it out there? How awesome are we doing?
I know. As soon as we, like, I was like, I'm gonna throw up and and everything. And then as soon as, like, we did it, you guys were all like nervous and I'm like, come on now.
So I can honestly say, and I don't think I told you guys this, I had to take an Ativan that day because my anxiety was like through the fucking roof. I needed to calm my, I'm like, my heart's going to explode. Because I've like you guys, I've never put myself out there. I'm a relatively private person. A lot of what I've said in the last 38 episodes, my family doesn't even know about Darren might, because he might listen every now and then. But, like, my family didn't even know. So it was, like, fucking terrifying for me to do that. I'm like, oh, my God, I was sweating. Norm's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's January.
It's negative 30. Oh, my God.
No, I feel that way, too, because a lot, like, I don't share the depths of my story, like I have here, and I never, when I do choose certain people to tell that story to. I don't do it to get sympathy or for people to, you know, feel bad for me or that. I do it usually with somebody that is having a rough time going through similar situations in the hopes that maybe my story can help them a bit. Or not make them feel alone, and vice versa, because maybe there's stuff then from their story that can also help me.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Good point. Well, I think
it's weirdly fascinating to me, the fact of what we're all willing to share so openly on a podcast forum where, I mean, now Dana and I know, and I think we told Peanut, I can't remember. But we know that on Spotify alone, we have 75 listeners.
77.
Didn't tell me that.
So we're up to 77 listeners now on Spotify specifically, plus the whatever 10 or so that we have on Podomatic and however many listen on Apple and all the rest of them. So we have basically about 100 people minimum who listen to us. And it's mind-boggling to think about the things that we've shared where I'm like, there's so many friends I've never told these things to before. But here I am sitting with these two wonderful ladies. And I'm like, here you go, world. Here's this story.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like you put your headset on. You set up your Skype so we all see each other's faces except for Peanut because she chooses not to show us her face. Thank God we already know what she looks like. But
that's enough.
And it's like,
because my computer's too old, guys. I'm not.
I understand that, but like, you know, you see those faces, the familiarity of. Mm-hmm. Those two things, and you totally forget that you've already hit the record button. Next thing you know, you got verbal diarrhea. Your life story came out, and you're like, holy fuck, what did I just say? I can't let my friends listen to this episode, you know?
Well, you know what? To this day, that I still am a little, like, it's one thing to do this, and there's, like, random people that listen to us and, you know, hear us and our stories and stuff. But then I now think, how many people that we're friends with from work listen to this?
My thought is chances
and know
are...
And know my story now and know where I don't advertise. You know what I mean? Like, where I don't advertise, where, like you said, Taylor, you would have never, ever have guessed just working with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to me, it's one of those things of one of the ladies actually came up to me the one day at work. She was having, like, an off day, and I can't remember, she made some sort of comment about something, and I just kind of, I nodded along with it, like, people can always say whatever they want to say. I'm never going to judge them. I think what sparked it is that she had said something about someone who's a friend of mine, but it's not that they're not friends with her. So she kind of had a comment to make. Then afterwards walked up and went, I'm sorry, I'm not usually like that. And like, she's like, I know that you're friends with them. And I told her, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I can be friends with someone. I'm allowed to have my opinions. I can love the person. And someone else could absolutely hate them. That's between you and them. I can love each person individually.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not even Sunday. Thank you for saying that.
Oh my God, that was fucking fantastic. Well, it's true. To me, I don't expect all of my friends to like each other. They're not each other's friends. I'm friends with them. There's no reason. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, hey, yeah, you hate Joanne. Hey, let's go hang out over at Joanne's place. And I'm going to make you two sit together and pretend to be friendly. Like, no. I won't make time.
I just had the, not that same experience, but I, like, last week at work, and it's not the first time that somebody has come to me, and I don't at all think they listen to the podcast at all. And just
after the podcast is over, I'm gonna be like, who, Peanut, who?
Yeah. And just like, and just like started like spilling their guts and was crying and started crying. And I was like, it's okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not the first time. And I, and they're like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. And they're like, you just, they're like, you're just so, like, you seem like so easy to talk to and so.
It's your face, Peanut. Don't take
that's
that
what
the
she
wrong
she
way.
Said. She said that. She said something about my face.
No, and you, that, you have a very kind that. Face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, I remember the day you started at Vistaprint. And I was like, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna be friends with that lady. I know I am. And then
that
you
was
flashed,
because you saw her
and how
boobs.
Could I not be?
And you know what's funny though is when I started at Vista, I was in the midst of my divorce. My husband had just left. And I was in the midst of, and I had just, it was like just after I had downed my pills and shit.
So really? What you're trying to say is when you flashed me, you were trying to pick me up as a replacement.
That's the way to find that silver lining, Data.
Wanted to see if I still got it.
She's like, here's one boob.
And
she's
you did, because here we are, what, 8, 10 years later? Yep.
But that's the way, but yeah, so so like I said, I don't I it's not a good thing. It's something I'm gonna work with my therapist about. But I definitely have perfected my mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's something that we all kind of do. Oh, yeah. Funny that we're in the month of October and we can talk about it. But it's definitely one of those things that when you have it, like no one ever thinks that the people who are the strongest need help, per se. Like, there's been so many times throughout my entire life, even from, like, childhood on, where people have been like, oh my god, you're so strong and all that. And it's like, I don't want to always have to be strong.
Yep.
It's exhausting. It's tiring. I would love to have somewhere where it's a, it feels like a safe space where I can go and I can be the weak one for a change and not have to worry about it. But that's incredibly hard to find. And when I thought that I'd found it, then she pulled the rug out from under me and caused a mental breakdown. So then it wasn't a really great learning experience. It was like, I can be, I shouldn't have done that. It went the opposite direction.
Well, here's your silver lining, Crispy. When you, with you having the rug pulled out, doing your backflips, landing on your feet, having your mental breakdown, you had something to talk about on the podcast.
You are so right about that. That is, honestly, I can now look at it and be like, you know what? Back then, horrible amounts of crying. As months went on and I went to weekly therapy and I got better, now it's like, I can honestly turn back and go, you know what? Yeah, she's not a great person. There's a whole heap of issues and shit that she should work on and not spread, but she will. But outside that, I can honestly look back and be like, you know what? Thank you. Because without her doing all that, I wouldn't have gotten to this point. I would never have gone to therapy. I wouldn't have started taking things to help with the lows and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know what? I see the lesson that the universe was like, okay, you need a nudge. It's going to hurt, but you're going to get a nudge.
I don't know.
Like, right, just kick in the ass.
Right, not only that, but we wouldn't, you wouldn't have, like, we wouldn't have been in the, like, we wouldn't have met. Like, I mean, we met. We knew each other at work already.
Like, I would say, like, on a deeper level, though.
We wouldn't know each other that way.
Well, Dana would know me that way.
Well, yes. Listen, it was only one boobie, so stop lifting your whole top,
sorry.
Taylor.
Sorry, hold on, I'll just floop one side.
Oh my god.
I can even tell you what shirt she was wearing. It was
have one boob.
It was the brown like bowling shirt with the black on it.
It was my Tim Hortons uniform. And I had all kinds of Tim Hortons shirt, and I wanted to, so I thought I'll ruin those at work instead of my good shirt.
Oh my god, Data, that's fucking hilarious that Data even remembers the shirt. It's like going out on a first date and you're like, I remember how your hair was done that night. I remember your shirt was the brown bowler one, and oh, it was so romantic.
Do you remember my bra? No.
I'm not going to answer. I plead the fifth.
Dana's like, maybe.
What, bra?
No. I'm not going to give away all my fantasies.
This is when we find out it reverts back to the episode of the crushes on friends. But, you know, I've managed to keep this friendship going for years.
Her fantasy. I'd like a cruller with that, please. Since I have my Tim Hortons shirt.
So soft.
Actually, mine would be a chocolate glaze. But...
Ooh, yeah. Okay, now we also need Tim Hortons to sponsor us.
Okay, oh Timmy, god, get on it.
I haven't been to funny. Tim Hortons in I don't know how long.
I'll be honest with you. Sometimes... if I'm, like, traveling down the 401, I'll stop at Tim Hortons and I'll get steep tea. McDonald's coffee is, like, 400,000 times better than Tim Hortons. Prove me wrong. There's just, and, like, fuck all summer long, it's a buck. Yep. Right? Tim Hortons, like, the last time I went to Tim Hortons... and I got a large steep tea. It was like almost $3. I'm like, I can buy a bag of, I can buy a box of Red Rose, a carton of cream, and make my whole fucking tea at home for less. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I remember when I was working there the second time around. There was, like, this lady that came in every day, every single day, and got 4 extra large, what are they called? Oh, my God. Like, the iced not, you know, frozen, what the fuck are they called now?
The ice caps there.
Yeah, the ice caps.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 of those every single day, extra large. Those things are fucking pricey.
Cup, man.
Well, I don't think they were all for her, but.
Oh. I was gonna say, damn.
But still, think about the, like, how much, that's a lot. Those things are expensive. And especially an extra large one.
Oh, God, yeah.
Every single day, like, I thought, oh my craziness. God, the amount of money you just spend in a week at
Starbucks is no better.
Starbucks is worse because it's even more expensive.
I've never been to a Starbucks.
I've been
don't ever go. It's not worth it.
Mm-mm.
Fuck you and your triple shot vanilla 3 pumps of mocha coffee bullshit. It's not worth it at all. Mm-hmm.
I know my sister likes Starbucks, but they don't have Tim Hortons over there, right? Because at the...
I'd say it's only starting to get over to that side of the world.
Yeah, they're... Because believe it or not, there's one in Luxembourg.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
See, now we also need Starbucks to give us some sponsorship.
After we trash them.
Don't go there, but give us money.
Well, I used to like when I... like, when I first started working at Tim Hortons, I was 18 years old. And they, like, I decorated cakes and stuff, and that was really fun. But they baked their own donuts. Like, they made back their then, own. Yes. Yeah, they baked their own donuts.
They were so good.
Yeah, and they made their own muffins and cookies, and and they had pies and cakes and cheesecake. And like, they had such a variety, too, of donuts and that. And now it's like you go in there and there's hardly any donuts. Like, hardly any variety. No pies and cakes anymore. And everything's already pre-made.
Yeah, doesn't it all come from London?
I'm not sure. It's all frozen.
I think so.
It's all frozen, and they just, like, put it in the oven to reheat it. And then they decorate it and that. But, yeah, that used to all be made from scratch. We had bakers and the big fryers in the back, and they'd fry the donuts up and...
Well, I never had a job at a fast food place.
Or a fat food place.
I only ever worked at the cafeteria in Villanova, and everything was frozen there, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
Are you okay there?
I'm having, like...
An existential crisis? What is happening?
A power crisis.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it's charging again. My laptop didn't want to charge, and I'm like, it's like flashing because I need power.
It's like crawling on the floor. And
I'm glad it wasn't.
And that's why we don't post the videos.
Standing on her head.
Doing the YMCA with her legs.
Doing calisthenics.
How to show how old you are right away. I was doing calisthenics. The younger generation. What? Is that a type of coffee? How do you do that? Is that a speech impediment? Because that's not okay.
Like, I love how... So we started off talking about our fears.
There, I did it again. There. Fuck it. You've got to sit back. That's all.
We started off talking about our fear of the podcast, and somehow we turned into working at Tim Hortons.
I don't even know how we ended up on that eventually, but...
But that is a fear in itself. So.
Working at Tim Hortons. My brother worked at a Tim Hortons, and he said it was ridiculous.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy.
Like, they have a little, like, when somebody comes through the drive-thru, they have a little fucking clock, and they time you.
Yep.
And you have to get everything, like, somebody comes in and orders, like, fucking 9 breakfast sandwiches, 14 coffees, and 3 dozen donuts. You're not going to get that shit together in 4 minutes. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Not unless it's already pre-made, sitting on the counter waiting.
Yep, which in that case, we don't want.
You have drive-through times, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was 18, I started out, so I worked the counter. Then I learned how to decorate cakes, because when I first started, I didn't work at a store that baked. And that, so I learned how to do the cakes. And then they opened up the one in Devonshire Mall.
Oh, yeah.
So I went there. And when I went there, they weren't a bake store either, but they did make their own muffins and cookies and tarts and all that. So I learned how to do all that and decorate cakes. And then I became assistant manager.
Ooh,
and moved to the one on here on Church next to the Holiday Inn, which was a bake store. So they baked donuts there. And then I left there. And then when I, again, after my divorce, I needed a job. I ended up working as the shift supervisor at this one in Amherstburg, but I did not stay there very long.
And then she came to heaven on earth.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, after you work at a Tim Hortons, that was it is heaven on earth. Tim Hortons is absolutely insane, because they don't give you enough people. Mm-hmm. I remember the one night, the second time around working, and it was afternoons, and there was something going on, like it was summertime, so I don't know, there was like a baseball game or something going on, and I was like the only person running the drive-thru. And I had one other person doing the counter,
mm-hmm.
and I had one person that was supposed to be baking in the back. And it was like the drive-thru was lined up out to the road.
Jesus.
I was lined up out the door inside. We were running out of everything. I had to have my baker come and wait on customers. But at the same time, these people had to also take breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So I had to like take them away to give them breaks.
No break for you.
No break.
I literally was in tears. I literally, that was probably when I said, oh, yep, not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Like, I mean, talk about stressful situations. It's one of the reasons why I never really want to do, like, the highest I would ever want to go at VP would be just laughing at the fact that I was about to then follow that with be a PC. Because everything there is just, what is it, acronyms?
Yes.
So, I like, the highest I'd ever want to be is a production coordinator at best, just because I have no desire to be a supervisor. You're caught between the floor and the office because you're, like, living a foot in both worlds. Right. I don't want to go back into the office anymore. Like, that ship has sailed. It's gone. It fell off the face of the planet.
Yeah, because you did HR work, didn't you?
Yes, I did, because that's what my schooling's in, is actually HR. So I went full on. I have my diploma, I have my bachelor's, all in HR. And I did 2 summers in the HR office there. But then just, it was good back then. I loved our old director. He was freaking amazing. He was my mentor. He was the chef's kiss.
Who's that?
C'est magnifique. What's his name? He's retired years ago. Steve Harris.
I have no idea.
I don't know if you ever really would have met him. Like, he went out on the floor to do like holiday stuff. He'd always go out and shake hands and help out and all that fun stuff. But that was...
Isn't that weird how that doesn't happen anymore?
Joe Mamarella was famous for that.
Yeah, I would say Joe used to go out every single week and go and shake hands and all that.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, I've been there for 13 years. So I think Steve retired 10 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, it's got to be about 10 years ago now.
Hmm.
But he's an amazing HR guy. Like, he'd been in the business doing HR for 35 plus years, I think, by that point. So he would talk to me and it's like, okay, yeah, like, this is what it's kind of like. Oh, I've worked with the unions, I've done this, I've done that. He'd done everything. Everything under the sun. So he knew what he was talking about.
I remember my first blackout with that I was at Vista and VP, sorry. And I was in digital doing calendars, but we come over to help in binning because it was like super, super crazy busy. Mm-hmm. And that's when office people used to come out and help.
Yep.
And
the office people.
And me and Dana were double shipping.
So there was some flashing going on. Just one side, though.
We were talking dirty to each other. Hand it up off nine.
Yeah. See how much I can stuff in it.
Oh, did you lick that tape?
Stuff it.
Yeah. Did you wet that tape?
People are going to be listening to this going, what the fuck has happened to them? This is legitimately our mental health. This is how we get through life. Stuff it real good. Dun, 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 dun.
Remember, like,
play with those bubbles. remember what now?
The other night when I said it was really hot at work, and I was like, and you were like, chicka wow wow or something, and I was like, it's getting on your take off.
Yes.
All the rest of the night. I had that in my head while I was cutting. And you know what the sad part is? I only know those two lines. So
take off all your clothes.
That just kept repeating all night.
Yes, I remember that because Peanut kept on talking about how wet her underwear was.
Nice. Very nice, Peanut. I'm pretty sure that was Wednesday.
Yes.
That was the day I was at home, and if I had balls, I would have sweated them off. And
yes.
My husband, should we shut the windows and turn the heat on?
Oh my God.
I still have my windows open. Yes, I know it's only 42 degrees outside.
I have mine open.
I have my window open and my window fan in, and it is a balmy 59.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Oh, it's delightful in here. I could not be happier. Yeah.
I said good thing the girls have fur. I mean my cats by that. Not, I don't know. Maybe they were thinking the girls, because some people refer to your boobs as the girls.
Oh my God.
My girls have fur.
My kitty has fur.
It's why Dana didn't see both boobs. She doesn't remember a bra because there's just fur everywhere. You were censored. Looks like Robin Williams has been here. Ch-ch-ch-chia. Oh.
Lord.
So, I think I started to say this at the beginning of the episode, and then we got, like, we went all over the damn place. So one of the things, I think we talked about it last week or the weekend before, or possibly both, I am going to be, one of the things that I decided to do this year was obviously one, the podcast. We've now been doing this for 10 months.
10 months.
Yep. So for 10 months now we've been doing this. I'm like, all right, I think I've achieved that goal. I've done well. I've continued to be here every week. Yeah. Ooh. And now the next one that I have, because I cannot for the life of me remember, there's a third thing that I wanted to do. Oh, I remember what it is now.
Clarity.
The light bulb just went boop. But the next thing that I am going to do is actually, I enjoy writing. I wouldn't really proclaim myself to be a writer per se, but I do enjoy writing. I have like a bunch of fan fiction stuff. And then on top of that, I have a couple, or a few, novels that I'm working on that could eventually in time be published. I shared one of them with these two ladies here the other day. So today, shortly after we're done the podcast, I will be publishing a work that I did, I couldn't even tell you how many years ago now. So I'm just rereading through it and just kind of editing it so that it's all in the same tense. But even as I'm going through, it's one of those things like the internal cringe is real. As I'm like, oh my God, I suck. This all sucks. It's horrible. Why am I going to post this? This is just why. And you can hear that internal monologue.
Well, as a side note, once Taylor posts that link, we'll post it on our page on Facebook so that all you listeners can come and read Taylor's work. She's and starting to take it out of band now.
How many out of bands do you have? Hey, mine's really good, Michelle. Okay, go ahead and post it now.
Well, do you guys remember doing speeches in grade school?
Oh my God, I fucking hated them.
I hated that. I think that's like part my anxiety part two. Remember? My first was confession. And yep. And speeches was another thing that totally destroyed my confidence, mm-hmm. and gave me anxiety.
1,000,000% agree, because it's, I don't know if they still do it or not in school, but I fucking hated it. Yep. Because you had to try and get up in front of the class, talk about something stupid, because it could only be whatever, was it 2.5 to 5? No, it had to be 5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. So you had to pace yourself.
2.5 to 5.
So you had to try and pace yourself so that you weren't under and you weren't over, because you'd get docked marks either way. And you had to sound confident as you got out there. The way the world goes today. And you had to try to make sure that you looked up and then try to continue your speech without losing your spot. And it was like,
ours, you were supposed to memorize them too.
Yeah.
Oh, you were supposed to. I
we
just
could
never
have
could.
Cue cards, but we couldn't have the whole speech written on them.
Yeah. Yep.
So listen to this. I think grade 5 was the first year we did them. Oh, and by the way, Taylor, my kids never had to do speeches, so.
Oh,
and my daughter will be 25 on Sunday.
God damn.
I know.
Lucky bitch.
I think I'm pretty sure we started speeches in grade 5. Grade 5? How old are you in grade 5? What, 10?
Yeah, because you're 13 by the end of grade 8. So yeah, you'd be 9, 10.
So you have to tell your teacher what your topic is, because they have to approve it, right?
Yeah.
There's like 28 kids in my class, so 27 different topics. And then there's me. I get up there, I'm like, pro wrestling. WWF. And my teacher was like, okay. So he goes, you're going to do like the history of wrestling. And oh, yeah. I'm going to do my homework, sir. No. So he would draw names to see who went first on the first day. And I think we did like 7 speeches a day type thing, right? He gets to my name and I'm like 3rd from the last. And in the meantime, I'm sitting there. My 10-year-old little self is sitting at my desk at the back of the room. My jaw's hanging on my table because here are the speeches by my 10-year-old counterparts. The process of osmosis. Chlorophyll. Like, why the leaves turn colors? I'm like, who the fuck wrote these speeches?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely the 10-year-olds, of course.
The War of 1812, the History of Windsor, Rum Runners from the 1920s. I'm like, come on. So, yeah, by the time I had to get up there and do my speech, I was so riddled with anxiety. Well, not that I knew what anxiety was, but I was so terrified to get up and stand in front of these other 10-year-olds who all had, like, historic and scientific speeches. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think, oh, my God, they're going to think I need to be in special ed. Like,
you're like,
what do I
man.
Do? My 4.5-minute speech, which I chef kiss practiced at home, memorized the whole motherfucking thing, didn't need any cue cards. I read it in like 1.5 minutes. I don't think I breathed. It was a whole fucking long run on sentence. And from that day forward, every time the week of speeches came up, ooh, I was ill. I was so ill.
You know, I absolutely agree with you. And what's funny is that when I, later in life, when I went back to school, I went to, did second career and went to college and was taking administrative assistant / accounting.
Mm-hmm.
You had to, in the administrative course, you had to make a presentation and with slides and mm-hmm. everything else, and present it to the class. And by then I'm in my 30s, right? And this chick did not, I refused to go up and do it. I took a 0 on the project because I had so much anxiety and flashbacks that I could not get up in front of this class and present my work. Mm-hmm. Whether it was good or not, I don't know.
I think grade school gave us PTSD. I'm not lying.
Oh, 100% just because, like, I absolutely dreaded having to get up in front of the class. And it annoys me to no end because I look at public speaking as just something that's like, not everyone's going to do it. 9 times mm-hmm. out of 10, you're not going to be a public speaker. There's very select few who actually have to get up and speak in front of the public for their jobs. Like, no, I don't have to for anything that I do.
As far as I know, none of the kids I went to grade school with are politicians. So.
Exactly. Everyone I know, it's like, no one went into that. And it's never, I hate doing fucking presentation projects. Like I used to do them. I had to do them in every single class that I had for my HR. I got decent at it, but I don't like being the center of attention. I do not like having the eyes on me. I am the person who I like to observe. I will throw in thoughts and comments if I have to, or if I have them suddenly. But 9 times out of 10, I just do not want to do that. And it makes me feel like crap. And I'm like, no, because unless it's on something that I'm actually knowledgeable, like, okay, you want to talk about Star Wars or ancient civilizations, those I can go to town on because I already know it up here. I don't have to look it up and be like, oh yeah, hey, what's a pyramid? I don't know, it's a piss poor example, but what's a pyramid? And have to look it up. It's like, no, I actually know the answers to this, where I can actually give the answers confidently and say, okay, yes, this is what's going on, this is how they came up with it, blah blah blah. You make me choose a topic and then go, okay, well, you need to talk about ethical laws in mining. That is a project that I had to do in law class for HR. Myself, my friend Emily, and our classmate Travis all had to get up there and talk about the health and safety and ethical behaviors of mining. I know nothing about this. Even after researching, I'm like, I still don't fucking understand it. It's dumb. I got nothing. But, oh, I had to go up there and talk about it for 35 fucking minutes.
Oh, my God.
Science projects was another thing.
I was thinking that same thing.
So, my grade 6 teacher, second time around, I failed grade 6 friends. My grade 6 teacher was also our science teacher. So when we had the science fair, in order for us to, and we could work with a partner or we could work alone. I always worked with a partner because they did all the work.
Oh, I wish we had that option.
We had to make a hypothesis.
Hypothesis.
No, that's an educated guess. Mm-hmm. We had to do a synopsis.
Oh, yep.
Of what our science project was going to be and what we thought our outcome would, like, how our outcome would benefit. Again, I'm in grade 6. So my friend and I get up to, it's our turn to go tell them what we want to do. I don't know, we're idiots. I'm gonna admit we're idiots. He's like, what do you ladies want to do? I'm like, well, sir, we're going to get a fish tank and we're gonna paint the colors of the rainbow on the fish tank and leave one area clear and we're gonna see what color the fish likes best. And if it affects his behavior, that man looked at me like I had no brain.
You're like, I swear I'm not dumb.
And he's like, Okay. That's right. So he says, now again, remember, I'm in grade 6. Weird words are funny to me. He's like, I'm going to help you do this. He goes, instead of painting a fish tank, he goes, go to Giger Plastics on Lowe's on Road. Well, I was done. I just started fucking laughing. I could not stop. And he's like, get out of my room. I ended up getting a big old goose. He wouldn't even let me do one because I literally could not stop laughing. Like, I was doubled over. It hurt to breathe. Tears streaming down my face, laughing. And he's like, what's so funny? And I couldn't even get the words out to say, it's Geiger plastic, not Geiger. Done. I was fucking done. I couldn't stop it. But yeah, I think science projects gave people a lot of anxiety in grade school too.
Oh, yeah. You think about like how early onset it is, like when you're younger, or at least for all of us, for all of us old people, there was no such thing as, oh yeah, you have anxiety. Excuse me. It was, oh yeah, she has stage fright. She'll get over it. The more you do it.
Stage fright.
Yeah, suck it up.
I was just going to say that was exactly it. You were told you had stage fright, and the only way to get over stage fright is to continuously do the thing that you're stage affrighted of. That's not actually how that works. If you have the anxiety around it, you're still going to continue to have the anxiety around it. I'm fucking 31. I still get stage fright. I did air quotes for those who can't see us.
Yeah, I like the science project too. Because, well, frankly, like, don't tell me that half those kids didn't get help from their parents.
Oh.
And I, having grown up the way I grew up, there was no fucking help. So I had to do all my own shit.
Same and girl, same.
And it wasn't good. It was not good.
I can remember, thankfully, I had a mother who loved me because she helped me with so many things because I was not creative. I fucking hate it. Like, I struggled in school, which gave me a different type of anxiety because when you struggle in school, but you know, like, I'm not dumb. I know that I'm not dumb. I can prove it with words, even though sometimes the words fail to come out of my mouth. But I am aware that I'm not dumb. But when you go to school, because of how school is set up and here's the box that the kids are supposed to fit in, like, I felt so goddamn dumb going to school because I struggled with reading. I struggled with math. I struggled with freaking art because that makes sense. Like, that one, art to me is the one that makes me the most angry because you can't judge people's art. Everyone's artistic ability is different. From one artist to the next, like, you can look at Picasso. He was a world-renowned artist. I don't like his work. But that's me. I can't sit there and be like, oh, well, that gets a level 4+ because it was super well done. No. Picasso looks nice to other people, ugly to me. I prefer like a Rembrandt. That looks prettier to me. But drastically different. You can't compare the two to each other and be like, oh, well, Rembrandt gets a level 3+ because, you know, he could have done a little bit better with his peaks and valleys. Like, no, you can't fucking grade art. And it makes me mad that they try to.
You're so a Botticelli babe. Hmm? You're a Botticelli babe. Mm.
You know, I actually did really good in school, but in...
You sound so surprised, Peanut.
Well, no, I did when it came to like reading, writing, math. I was very good, but anything where, like, if you had to write essays,
mm-hmm,
or short stories, well, gym, anything like anything artsy, musical, I sucked at. Like, I remember taking clarinet in grade 5.
Hey, that's what I took too.
And that, and then, violin. And then, and at our school we had, starting in, I think it was starting in grade 5, they had a Christmas choir. And it was fun, but everybody had to participate in it. Like in the school from grade 5 to grade 8, we did because the grade 5 teacher was the piano player. So what are you going to do with those kids? So anyways, and we would have this Christmas choir and we would actually go around to nursing homes and perform. And there used to be a mall in Amherstburg, and we would go to the mall and perform. But I, like, it was fun, but not because I, like, cannot carry a tune. So I would just kind of, like, not really sing. But I remember going to the nursing home.
Peanut was the Milli Vanilli of her time.
But it would be so funny because you go to nursing homes and, like, there was a lot of us, grade 5, 6, 7, and 8, right?
Oh, God,
kids,
yeah.
You're thinking there's probably at least 20 to 30 kids in each class, and you're stuffed in this small area in a nursing home, and it's like 110 degrees. People, like, no lie, people would pass out, the kids singing. Like, you'd be standing there, next thing you know, like, buddy boy next, you just dropped. But it was fun. But I certainly didn't excel in any type of, like you said, like public speaking, any kind of artsy thing, anything. I'm not very good at writing, like, what my thoughts down, and not expressing my thoughts, I guess, on paper and stuff. And I really struggled with those book reports and stuff like that.
I freaking hated book reports, just because, like, I can remember we'd have to do a stupid book report and then we'd have to draw a stupid picture with it where they're like, okay, well, draw what you think the scene looks like. I'm not an artist. Fuck off. I don't care what the scene looks like. And also, for me, I struggled with reading. Like, I got better with age, but I still, like, I'm not a confident out loud reader whatsoever, but I've gotten better with it. I do enjoy reading now as an adult. Like, that finally hit when I was a teenager, but I always hated being told what to read, or they're like, oh yeah, okay, so we're going to read, I don't know, the hell was one of the ones, like Frankenstein or some other shit, that they're like, yeah, you got to read this. Here you go. And I hated it. I hated being forced to read things that I didn't care about or didn't want to. There are some things that I absolutely love. Like, I loved Animal Farm. What was the other one? To Kill a Mockingbird. The Crucible. Like, I liked some of those ones once I got to high school. But I did not like most of the other things that they're like, oh, we're going to read this. Like, my one teacher in grade 10, fucking crazy woman. And let me also add this tiny little story, because it was fun. When I was in grade 10, we had a roommate that lived with us to help pay for rent and all that fun stuff, or bills and all that. So my mom, when she went to high school and college, she was an English major. She was going to go be a journalist. That's what she was accepted into, I think it was Fanshawe for.
Oh, nice.
So she, English major, our roommate, an actual teacher. Me, suck at English. Get good enough just to pass the classes. That's all that I cared. Well, this crazy ass teacher would make us read some of the oddest stories because she loved them, because she got to pick. So she would give us these weird old, like, 1940s, 1950s detective novels that she absolutely loved. They were just blah. I hated them. But I had several projects with her. I did one, got it back. I got like a 65 or 66 for myself. My mom takes it. She's like, we can do better than that. Let's see. You have a next one from her. I'm like, yeah, because it's the next chapter. Let's freaking go. I just want to be done with this stupid fucking course. She goes, she does it. She gets it back. 62%.
Oh.
I looked at her and I went, you're supposed to do better than me. I suck at English. Why are you going the wrong direction? My mom, fucking pissed. I go, our confident teacher's like, yeah, give it here. You're just not doing it right. She does one herself, get it back, 60%. I looked at them and went, guys, you're going the wrong direction. You're not helping anymore. So then it turns into both of them being fucking pissed because they're like, this is bullshit. What the fuck is this? I'm an English major. I'm an actual teacher. What is she saying? This is actually a properly made sentence. This is actually what happened. I'm like, yeah, guys, you suck at this. We do like the last final one for that semester or whatever. All three of us do it together. We're working on it. I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's do this. Get it back. We got a whopping 67% between three of us. And the two of them high-fived and we're like, yeah, we got better. I was like, 67, guys, that's 1% higher than the percentage that I got on my own. They're like, yeah, well, you know what? She can go fuck herself. Her and her dumbass English bullshit, she can go to hell. We know that we're smart. But the amount of, like, just, I hated that kind of stuff because, again, how do you mark people on that kind of stuff if they don't actually enjoy what they're doing? Because if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're not going to put full effort into it, or the effort that you put into it's never going to match with the person who loves it. Like, my teacher absolutely loved the detective shit. Good on her. I'm glad that you enjoy reading that. It was boring as all sin to me. Like, just go the fuck away. I hated school so much.
So I was kind of the opposite of you two ladies. Oh my God, I failed grade 9 math.
I almost failed grade 10 math.
I failed grade 12 math.
I never took math past grade 9. Once I got a 50% in that class, I was like, see ya.
Mm.
I excelled in art and literature and screen studies. Anything that was like artsy. Artsy. I spent my senior years in the art room with my art teacher. We had an amazing bond. So I was able to do my required credits in summer school so that I could spend more time in the art room during actual school. And it was nice because, but then like geography, history, you know, all the required classes. Oh my God, I struggled so bad in.
Those ones I did good.
It's whatever side of the brain you think with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're an intellect, you think with the other side. I'm artsy, I think with that side. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I'm not artsy at all.
I hated like classes like history and geography and social studies, whatever the fuck that is.
I still don't understand what that one was even supposed to be about. It was a stupid ass class. I did well in it, but it was a stupid class.
No, my sister is very artsy. She's a very, very good artist. And her daughter is like even better. Her daughter is an amazing artist.
Nice. Yeah.
But that was my cousin. She was, I like it skipped me for sure. But my cousin, Michelle, she was an amazing artist. She she designed the yearbook for General Amherst 1 year. There was a house here in Amherstburg along the water, that she painted a mural for them. And,
nice.
Yeah, and you can actually look her name up on the internet, because she's a professor of religious studies in Nova Scotia. And she painted, I forget these, it's if you can look it up online, she painted these murals in a church.
Wow.
Down
wow.
there. And that, yeah.
I wish.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's written books. She's written books and everything. Very, very smart. And I think to myself, so, like, her name's Michelle Rabideau, right? And you can look her up.
I've heard that name before.
But it's just funny because I it's like, it's Mish, because that's who we used to call her, right? And I remember one time she was babysitting for me and my sister, kind of babysitting, I guess. And I don't know why, but so our house, it was kind of like you could go like, it was kind of like you could walk in a circle, like through the kitchen, dining room, living room, and back again, right? And okay. I was young. I don't know how old I was, and I don't know why I did this. But she was basically, I took a carrot, and I started running around the house with a peeler, peeling this carrot as I ran all around and she was like chasing, tried to get me, like, because there was carrot peelings all over the house.
Peanut the cereal peeler.
No carrot shall ever be safe.
I don't know why. I remember another time she was babysitting and she was sleeping on the couch, and me and my sister took our ghetto blaster and we recorded some spooky noises and sounds and we snuck in and put it behind the couch and press play and scared the shit out of her.
You're so mean.
The true side of Peanut is now coming out.
Right. My sister was involved in that one too.
I like that she's like, my sister did that too, just saying.
Right, let's throw her under the bus.
It wasn't just me.
But yeah, she's very, very accomplished.
Nice.
And it's amazing because you know that someone like that doesn't have the same, like, I'm sure she has her own anxiety, like her own.
Oh, probably.
Variety, yeah, sure. Of it, or breed of it, however you want to reference it.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, we have the anxiety of like, okay, sharing artwork that Dana's done, like you having that entire book, painting on your wall a mural yourself, me for writing, where it's like, okay, yeah, like I'll share stuff with people close to me, but then, you know, I can take it back at a moment's notice if I really want to. Not for you, no soup for you, no writing for you. I sent you nothing.
Yeah, it is a fearful thing to put yourself out there, to mm-hmm. open yourself to public criticism, uh-huh. which basically we do every week.
yes, we do.
And Peanut has felt the wrath of.
I know. I feel like when we do this though, that I don't think of other people listening.
I think it helps that that we do it not live, like we record it instead. Mm-hmm. So that way, like, I think there might be a difference, like if we ever decided in the future that we wanted to do a live one and put it out there, then I would think that it would be something different, because then we'd have interactions from listeners, which I think would then maybe freak me out.
I don't know if that would freak me out. I think that would be kind of cool.
Well, I mean, in a way, we kind of have done that by having guests.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Like Amy, because
I love
and Zyrak, and
mm-hmm. I love hearing other people's stories. Mm-hmm. Oh, Zyrak. Oh my goodness. What can I say?
I'm just picturing Peanut over there. Ooh, Zyrak.
I don't know. There's just something about him and his story, and it touched me. And it was just, I don't know. Like, even though, like, he has, probably still continues, to have serious struggles in his life, that he has stuff he's overcome, some of it, he has led an amazing life, and his mm-hmm. story is inspiring. And I don't know, he just really, him and his story really, like, I felt something.
Yeah, he is, he's an amazing person, so blessed to know him. Like, and every Sunday, I don't know if you guys see, he tags me in his weekly posts where, you know, he's like, he calls it his soulful Sunday post. And he tags me in it. And it's just, you're right, Peanut, listening to him, like, I knew some of his story. I mean, I knew he was a gay man. That's what all I knew.
He knew he was gay? Oh, my God.
But, like, yeah, listening to some of his story. Like, I can remember when the podcast ended and after we said goodbye, because we always chat afterwards. Mm-hmm. After we said goodbye, like, I went out into the living room and I have to listen to the whole podcast again while I edit, right? Mm-hmm. And listening to it again, even though, like, it had just happened an hour ago, listening to it again, I caught things that I had missed the first time. I was just blown away by what he's gone through and persevered through, and mm-hmm. has come out to be a well-rounded individual. It's mind-blowing, and I'm so thankful that we got him.
I think I was crying, like, the whole
I was just going to say, Peanut was there just sobbing the entire time.
And even, like, Amy, like, I absolutely, like, found her, what she does for a living, and that's, like, absolutely fascinating. And, you know, to find out that, like, she had tried out for So You Think You Can Dance and everything is, like, I wonder if she met Twitch, is, like, absolutely amazing.
God. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
What I absolutely love and adore about Amy, and I know that she'll listen to this and hear this at some point in time, but one of the things that I absolutely adore about her is how, like, starstruck she was/is to interact with you two, just because obviously, like, I mean, her and I absolutely love each other. We've known each other for long enough. I cannot say enough good words about her, and never will be able to say good enough words about her. But watching her interactions with you two and how excited and just delighted she was that you two were both like, yeah, go ahead, send us a friend request. It was like, you could feel just the beam of excitement radiating off her, being like,
you could see it in her face. She's a darling.
I don't think anybody's ever been excited to be friends with me.
Well, fuck you too, Peanut.
After the last week, she's probably going, what the fuck? Although, Taylor, that sandwich one that you put, oh,
with the cheese
clip. My God.
Oh, with the two married couple?
No, it was the ham sandwich with the little piece of cheese. Oh, with the arrow that said, it's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking laughed for a solid 15. Oh, and Norm's like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, like, you know, you have that ugly face laugh, and oh, I couldn't even articulate words to him. I was just laughing, and I thought, should I send that to him? No, I better not.
He might get offended. It's when he walks into there and goes, what's that supposed to mean?
He might come in. He might come in with
a ham sandwich.
I was just going to say, he'd probably come in with a loaf of bread.
It's just when he takes
like, you want a lunch spread.
But there's only one tiny little spot of cheese. That's it.
Comes in with just two slices of bread.
One for either side. Found it.
Yeah, I love actually listening to other people's stories, and that whether they're good or bad, it's I find it interesting other people's lives and what they've been through and how they've overcome it, and inspiring.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
And just like when I was talking with my sister this week, and like I think to me that she is a very brave person, because at, you know, at the age of 24, she met a guy online, you know, never having met him in person, quit her job and left all everything that was familiar to her, and got on a plane by herself and flew to the other side of the world to meet this guy, and been there for 25 years.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad we didn't see her on an episode of Catfish, but
good for her. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, she could. Like, he could have been a serial killer.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Or something. Or it could have not worked out, and she could have been stranded over there, or any number of things could have happened. And so to have that courage to do that all by yourself on top of that, right? Because she didn't really have a support system over here from family wise to support her in that, or to say you're always welcome back and stuff like that.
Whatever happens. Yeah. Good. I mean, good for her. I'm glad that her jaunt over to Europe was a successful one. And, you know, she's happy.
Yeah.
It doesn't always turn out that way. Right.
No, but just the courage to do that. I could never do that.
I could.
Because technically she had. She had no money and nothing. Just
it was a giant leap. Leap for her.
Yeah. And I mean, that I guess that would be kind of like a phobia for the rest of us, would be like my anxiety gets in the way of the thought of I have that thought about running away at times. And then my anxiety comes in with, the human trafficking is pretty high around the world. Like, you sure you want to leave and go try that? You might end up on a barge, just saying. And it's like, Taylor, I should just stay here.
Oh, my Taylor? God. I have something to read to you ladies after.
Taylor? Hmm? Eat a cupcake. Kidnappers never kidnap fat women.
That's true. I have pumpkin pie to keep me safe.
Atta girl. Atta girl. Yeah. I follow that philosophy.
What are you doing? I'm staying safe.
Keeping myself safe. Even from the guys in the vans with candy. If they can't lift me, they can't get me in.
But boy, will I take that candy from them. This is good stuff. Is this Werther's? Yum, 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 yum.
I don't like Werther's.
No, I like Werther's.
They're my favorite.
You know what? Every time somebody offers me a Werther's, all I can think of is that episode of Friends where Phoebe gets possessed.
Oh,
by
and
an
she's,
old lady, she's, and there. she's at the wedding. She's like butterscotch.
Butterscotch, that's anyone.
That's all I can think of every time somebody says to me, you want a Werther's. I'm like, no.
Yeah, because she's at, what the hell is Ross's lesbian ex-wife's
Yeah.
They're at the wedding and she, butterscotch. I'm so glad that I have friends who understand the references.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was I think it was a wonderful week. I think we had a good conversation. It's a good format. I don't know, ladies, you can disagree or agree, whatever. But I think we found a good formula of just having something to say and then building on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Very free flow.
It would be interesting if people that are listening and have been listening, if they could give us feedback of which,
yes, please.
Of like what format do you prefer us when we're more focused on the topic at hand, more like talk like mental health, this is the topic, stay there, or do you like it more when we kind of just wander and talk about our lives and how it affects our anxiety and our mental health and our just our stories that we tell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. So feedback.
Yes,
I know. I know two people will definitely get feedback from. That's Anne and Amy.
Yes, those are definitely, they're the top two who are like, listen, we have some thoughts, and it's like, yes, give them here. We absolutely love you two specifically for that reason, where they're very much like, okay, I loved it. Here's some thoughts about it, and you're like, yay, we have feedback.
Yeah, Charisse is pretty good, and Moonbeam has mentioned how much she likes our podcast, and Catherine too. But let's hear from the others. 77 of you out there, we know you're listening.
We know you listen.
Yeah, definitely give us some feedback. Mm. And for next week, because we are getting into like spooky season.
Yeah.
This is my season. This is my Christmas, friends.
Fuck yeah.
I would like to talk about haunted houses next week.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay, like, wait. Okay, I'm going to write it down so that way I remember, because we won't otherwise. 40. Haunted houses. Okay, now when you say haunted houses, do you mean like the ones that you go to, like the scare houses kind of thing? Or do you mean haunted houses as in like Amityville Horror, the Vortex homes, the insane asylums that are haunted, that kind of stuff?
Both.
Okay.
Because I want to tell our listeners what it's like to grow up in a haunted house.
I'm down for that.
And what it's like to live in a haunted house.
We will be able to compare and contrast, because the last one, the house that I owned, was such a house. Mine was not a pleasant experience.
And I, although find the topic extremely interesting and love to hear about these things, am not a believer that there are
cynics. That's the cynic.
I'm so shocked.
I love hearing ghost stories. I love watching the shows about it. I love everything about it. I honestly do not believe I would have to see with my own two eyes and experience it myself in order to make me a believer.
You're coming to spend the night.
That's fucking fantastic.
He's going to dress up in a freaking sheet.
It's when she walks up behind you and goes, no, that's not me.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more next week, friends.
Yes,
so we will. Anyways, for our Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
We hope that you all have a wonderful Turkey Day, And remember, there's so much to be thankful for.
You know what? That's what we'll do this week specifically is, what are we thankful for? Because it is Thanksgiving, so it goes right in hand with that.
This is for you, Amy. I'm thankful for new friends. I think my status today said it best. Where I said, I'm thankful for the friends in my life that guide me to be a better version of an already fantastic me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ever so more thankful for the ones that walked out of it and took their fucking negativity with them. Next.
Peanut.
So I know I've used this one before, but honestly, this week, I'm going to say that I'm thankful for you two and my sister, because I have had a very, very trying week. And my mental health has been definitely pushed to the limit this week. And I'm thankful to have you two to help me come off down that from that ledge.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Peanut.
I think that's a Kayla. Really good one. What am I thankful for this year? Everything just left my brain all at once. It's like, you're thankful for crickets.
Shiny.
this is unusual.
Yeah, I was going to say, normally I have, I'm like, I'm thankful for blah, blah, blah. This time it's like, I'm thankful for science.
Chirp,
I am thankful for new friendships that my friends that I make bring me the weirdest fucking things. Because two times this week, one was one of the girls brought me a bookmark that on one side had a girl's half of her ass, because her ass was so voluptuous that she did not fit on both sides.
Oh, I saw that. And whoever cut it, it wasn't cut right, because her ass wasn't symmetrical.
Exactly. I was going to say, it was a reprint, therefore it was gifted to me after it made its way around a little bit. And then I was able to gift it to my other friend, who I was like, I know how you feel about these kind of things. And I handed it to her, and her face fucking lit up brighter than Christmas Day. And then the other friend, for whatever reason, immediately sent me a picture when he went out into the parking lot of underwear sitting on the ground next to someone else's car. And I love the fact that people think of me to send me these weird ass things. I don't know what sparks their thoughts with those, but I am happy for that fact and proud of it. So that is what I'm thankful for.
And I'm happy that you told me about it so that I could text him and say, what the fuck's going on in that parking lot?
And I'm curious as to why everybody thought they were mine.
Well, because it was, you also have that kind of a car, that same color. So it seemed legit.
Admit it, Peanut.
We know that they were wet already.
Throwing your fancies at the boys.
I saw them, and I don't even think an ass cheek would have fit in them.
You don't have an ass. It probably would have fit no problem. Been walking around being like, oh, yeah, these are kind of comfy.
Were they thongs?
I don't know. It was hard to tell because they were kind of crumpled a little bit.
He should have got closer.
I think he was afraid. He was like, there might be a life.
Alive!
But yeah, so that's what I'm thankful for. And as the usual reminder, you can find us at, or you can email us at depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. We definitely want to hear from you guys, so we want some more feedback. If there's something specific that you want us to talk about this month, for we're going to try and go like spooky themed, let us know. You can also find us on Facebook under the same name, Depressed Breakfast Club. You can find the episodes posted on Dana's X, aka Twitter, under Scooby, SKOOBI 71. Woo! You can also find the episodes posted on her TikTok, which is also under Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I. And you can also find the episodes posted on my own, what's that thing called? Instagram, which is GoddessTayTay25. Dana has also updated some of our profiles, so that way those things are added to it. And I think that's all I have. Next week, obviously, we'll be talking about the haunted houses stuff, which I'm most curious to hear. That's going to be a fun topic, I think. Maybe I'll bring in my new glowing, what are those things
pumpkin
called?
Pumpkin heads.
Pumpkin heads and just sit here in the dark. Yes. Yes.
Excellent.
Well, thank you again, everybody, for joining us for another week. We're sorry we're a day late, but, you know, turkey.
Thanksgiving.
We'll see. We'll talk to everybody next week. We'll see nobody.
We will see each other
next week. Be kind. Just be kind to people. You never know what somebody's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye.
The end's just going to be Dana yawning.
It is.